Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Boy, that's the biggest build up to a.
Did that start that, dog? That sound like explosion.
What?
Sound like explosion.
Why don't you turn the music down and you can hear each other?
Oh, that's a good point. What, bud?
Sounds like an explosion.
All right, anyway, welcome to our program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night here till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. My apologies again. David G. Hall wants to as well jump in and apologize for a series of comments made earlier in the program with regard to the television show The Walking Dead. And to join us and make his apologies, and then I, of course, will follow up with my own, is David G. Hall. Go ahead, David.
Well, thanks very much. This is David G. Hall, Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Hendry Show. The show Walking Dead is a wildly popular program, a program that we know is loved and is watched and is enjoyed by millions of Americans. And the negative comments that were made about Walking Dead, we do not endorse, nor do I think Phil meant. And what those negative comments were is really beside the point. The fact that there was just negative references made, I'm sorry to hear that. And we would never intentionally insult a television show that so many people enjoy. And so to that end, Phil, what did you want to add?
Well, I think we have to get into the specifics of why people were complaining.
The specifics of why they were complaining.
Yeah.
David, that people were complaining because there was a reference made by Vernon Dozier that the zombies, as childish as this sounds, the zombies were performing some kind of oral sex on each other, but not the traditional kind. It had to do with, I don't want to be... You know, Phil, I'm a lady.
I understand. It had to do with the term eating them a new...
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. They're talking about eating each other. All right.
Never mind, okay? So the apology had to be directed to that specific... We don't have to go any further than that.
Well, like, I'm on here saying that the people were... You guys were knocking Walking Dead.
I wasn't knocking Walking Dead at all. Vernon said that the show was about zombies eating each other a new one.
Oh, God. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's what Jim Bryce trying to say.
Is that what you were saying, Daphne? Daphne's laughing now because she kept sticking her tongue through the hole of a donut.
Well, at least she had donuts to demonstrate with.
At least she had donuts to demonstrate with. Hey, Daphne. Hendry got off a real cutie. He said, at least you had donuts. Then, yeah. Now she hates your guts even more.
Well, guess what, man? Every night I talk to you, she's at a donut shop.
I didn't call up about donuts. I called up to apologize to your listeners for bagging on Walking Dead. I had no idea you guys were out there talking about zombies eating each other's... You got to have some kind of a sick brain. And I mean a really sick brain.
I didn't bring it up. Dozier did.
I didn't bring it up. Dozier did.
You know, you some... Seriously, Phil, you sound as if you're recovering very slowly from a traumatic automobile accident that was brain injury. Like, you're doing well.
Goodbye.
Oh, now he's going to hang up on me.
To the extent that anybody was offended, we apologize. If you weren't, then we don't care.
Now, that's what you should have said in the beginning.
You're one of the people that started this whole thing.
Don't point your finger at me, Phil.
No, you are. You are. You're the one that got into this whole thing about The Walking Dead and eating each other anew. And the next thing you know, we got Dozier and I got Hall and I got this problem about oral sex. You got to have a brain. I agree with him. You got to have a sick brain to come up with that.
Yeah, well, you talk about eating another zombie out.
Oh, will you shut up?
Eating another zombie out, man. What the hell?
What the hell kind of language is that?
Yeah, look, and she's got a... I want the record... Speaking of making the record clear, she's smiling.
No, I'm not. It's amusement.
Yeah, she's smiling. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Coming on the line here is going to be Jerry Kern, who is a doctor of anthropology as well as archaeology at... one of the institutes in California, I don't know which one it is. I thought it was UC Berkeley, right?
No, he's not at Berkeley any longer. He was.
He's not at Berkeley any longer. So he's at, I think it's the Archaeological Institute in Malibu. But we'll get him on the line to talk about something that, this was quite an amazing discovery when it occurred. And they are making even more discoveries as they continue to investigate this site. And we're talking about the archaeological dig that did eventually dig up the remains of King Richard III. King Richard III, for those of you who may not know, was famous for certain physical deformities. He had a hunched back. He had a one of his hands, I think, was malformed. He was a warrior king nonetheless. Richard III was also considered to be quite a despot, meaning he was not kind to his people during the years of his reign. We're talking the 15th century, which would make this, in the 1400s. Now they're finding that in the skeletal remains of Richard III, which, by the way, they were able to construct a facial a reconstruction of Richard III, and it's an amazing thing. You can look it up online. From the skull, they constructed Richard III's face, the head, the actual look of the man. What did he look like? And it's quite similar to, as you might guess, to the paintings and the portraits that were done of him during that particular time.
Yeah, well, that makes only going to make sense.
Yeah, but then I'm always going to write. Well, Robert's making a good point. You know, sometimes portraits were fanciful. Sometimes they were created to bring out certain characteristics, internal characteristics of the subject. So they weren't always the most accurate physically. They were painted to lend a positive view of an individual from the standpoint of their character, as opposed to necessarily their physiology. Dr. Kern joining us here from Malibu tonight. Dr. Kern, thank you for being on the air with us.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Can you tell us what these new discoveries have yielded?
Well, these discoveries that you're speaking about were made by Bath University. There were a number of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine weighed in. Simon Booker is one of the hygienists at the London School. Lancet, which is the medical journal of the British medical establishment, was the first to publish this discovery, because it's not really archaeological more than it is systemic. It is archaeological, it's anthropological, and it's also historical, because what they found was evidence of a roundworm infection of the King of England, King Richard III. And it was quite acute. The monarch, who had, as you mentioned at the outset, a hunchback, a scoliosis, they believe, he had a very brief and violent reign. He had parasitic worms that grew to a foot long.
A foot long?
That is correct, yes.
Now, was this common in those days, Doctor?
It was very common. Roundworm was very common. In the remains that were discovered last year beneath this parking lot in Leicester, they say they discovered numerous roundworm eggs in the soil around his pelvis, where his intestines would have been. They compared that to soil samples taken close to Richard's skull and surrounding the grave. There were no eggs near the skull and only traces of eggs in the soil near the grave.
All right, so what does that say?
That says that there was a concentration of roundworm in the actual body of Richard III, but that it was not, in other words, the result of roundworm eggs being in the soil where he was eventually laid to rest. In the 15th century, roundworm was very common because of poor hygiene practices. These days, we've got about 820 million people worldwide are infected with roundworm, which can be treated with a pill. Worms are a remaining problem today, as they once were even for nobility, but not for the very wealthy any longer.
We're talking here with Dr. Clay Kern from the Archaeological Institute in Malibu, California, about the discovery that Richard III had roundworms. And Richard III's remains were discovered this past summer underneath a parking lot, as you just heard the doctor say, in Leicester, England. They did determine that this was, in fact, these were the remains of Richard III by DNA testing. They have at least two ancestors of two, members of Richard III's progeny that live today, and did the DNA testing against those individuals and came up with a positive match. He was a man with scoliosis. He had a lot of different problems, didn't he?
Well, Richard III, you know, when you're talking about these round worms, for instance, Phil, it would have given him a great deal of discomfort as these worms hatched and matured in his intestines and migrated to his lungs and his throat. It would have caused coughing and breathing problems. The king's doctors would not have linked those symptoms to the worms. They probably would have prescribed treatments that included bloodletting. We doubt that the worms would have worsened Richard's spinal deformity. We know, for instance, from the historical writing and the plays of William Shakespeare, he's depicted as a hunchback regent who had his two young nephews murdered so he could claim the English throne. He died on the battlefield in 1485, was the last English king that was killed in a war, and has long been one of the country's most reviled kings. Some have blamed his reputation on the Tudor monarchs who succeeded him and hope the discovery of a skeleton will spur scholarship that corrects what they think is an injustice. But nonetheless, he was a very ill, he was a bad-tempered man, but we're getting an idea now as to why. The bad temper.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're a little late for our break. We're going to come back here with Dr. Kern and discuss more Richard III and the discovery now among the remains of Richard III of roundworm eggs, meaning this man had a, not only did he suffer from scoliosis, which was a spinal curvature of the spine, he had roundworms, and he had a bad, bad case of roundworms. And I mean, to me, this kind of stuff is what?
I'm going to be sick. I don't know. Do you want to keep talking about this?
Yes, I do want to keep talking. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Thanks a lot for the backup there.
Thank you.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. And we have with us Dr. Clay Kern from the Archaeologic Institute of Malibu as we continue talking with him about the discovery of roundworms in the remains of Richard III. Now, I don't know how many people are really all that interested in this. I don't know how many people realize just how profound it is to discover the remains of an English king that's 500 years old, to be able to identify this man. A man who's been written about, a man who's had plays written about him, a man who's a part of mythology, if you will, to get some real look at the guy and to find that some of the mythology and some of the legend is actually true. Where he was born?
Well, that's true, and it's also true to be able to track not only where he died, but also where he was buried. That was very important. We know that Richard III was buried by his enemies. And they did bury him in a chapel, which no longer exists. But as has been indicated, the final resting place of Richard III was in this chapel that over time decayed, was destroyed, or otherwise displaced by other structures and other topography until we had in the 21st century this parking structure for automobiles under which is this 15th century king, yes.
So the roundworms affected his health. We know a horrifying case of these things if they were a foot long. And you had some opinion on this in Lancet by way of a letter, correct?
I had published a letter to the editors of Lancet making my own claim that Richard III, I think, was bolstered by this discovery, the strength of the man, the character of the man, bolstered by the discovery that he suffered from such a malady. The roundworms would have been, as has been indicated, I think, by the forensic anthropologists and forensic scientists that looked at this, would have made his life very difficult to live, and it would have made his life very painful. And yet Richard III was able to, through his reign, to defeat enemies, to control a kingdom, to control the administration of a government, and even though he was in agony, and I think what that and even though he was deformed, and there was even some speculation that Richard III was a homosexual. For those times, we're not entirely clear whether being a homosexual in the 15th century was as much of an anathema as it became. It might well have been in some political sectors. It could have been used as a some kind of a political leverage against the king. But with all of the negatives in his life, including and not withstanding this horrible physical condition that Richard III had, he was a powerful king that was a very formidable to his opponents and has come down through history that way. So that only strengthens the man's character in my eyes and the eyes of others.
That it strengthens his character, meaning you find him to be a better man than history has allowed for?
I think so, yes, because if you're suffering under this horrible malady of roundworms that was prevalent in the 15th century. There was no medicine for this. Certainly, better hygiene and better food preservation practices would have helped, but no one knew this. Here is a man suffering from a parasite that has invaded his intestines and his stomach and is now literally creeping up the esophagus into his mouth. It is consuming him from the inside, and yet he wouldn't even let that defeat him. He stood in battle. He signed legislation. He was a husband. He was a father. He was an uncle. He was an aunt. He wasn't an aunt, but he suffered the homosexuality, the ostracization of being a homosexual, even though he was married and had children, and all the while with roundworms in his guts and a crooked spine that made him walk with this ungodly gait. And there he was, and now he's making history. You see, to me, that's a formidable guy. And I beg to differ with people that think that Richard III was a bad man. I say it takes guts and it takes determination. It takes intestinal fortitude beyond anything anyone I know of could even remotely approach to be the man he was, with his guts being eaten out day in and day out, morning, noon, and night. And if it was happening to me, I'd commit suicide. I don't know of anything else that I might do.
Dr. Clay Kern with us. Well, let's go ahead and say the man was living the tortures of the damned. How that makes him a better man?
Yes, that's a very good question, Doctor, because couldn't you equally say that that's why he was a warring king? That's why he was considered to be very... Where are you right now?
I'm in a machine shop here on the campus of the Archaeological Institute. What we're attempting to do is build a memorial to Richard III that we want to have erected at a certain point in Leicester to him. And to say this was a great man, even though he had no right to feel good. Each day he woke up and he had his... living, you see, I can't get very graphic because I know what you people will do. You'll probably dump it. But I'm just here to tell you that he has my admiration because I would have committed suicide.
Well, yeah, and I would have too, you know.
And I don't think that people have given him his due.
But he was defeated in his final battle. He was killed and he was laid to rest there in a rather ignominious fashion. His enemies certainly didn't respect him at all. And... and his own people did not bury him, history has treated him thus.
Well, history may have treated him thus, but the memorial that we want to erect, which is of Richard III with a dagger, and he's driving it into his own abdomen, and the reason why is not because it's a suicide. It's because he is saying to the worms that are invading him, you know what? Go straight to hell. I'm going to kill myself. I'm not going to kill myself. I'm killing the worms. I'll live. You see?
All right, Doc, hold on for a minute. It looks like what he's saying is he's got a memorial that he's building to Richard III that shows him driving a dagger into his own stomach, Harry Carey style.
Harry Carey, you mean the...
Not the baseball announcer, the way they committed suicide in Japan?
I don't know.
What is that?
Never mind. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Dr. Kern.
Wow. Look, Harry Carey, man, was the way the Japanese commit suicide. Right.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Watch not only our video cast every night, but you can watch the archives. You can just watch it, you know, as the reboot of the Phil Henry Show, the retooling of the Phil Henry Show, the recreation of the Phil Henry Show continues. And I think it's going to be a fascinating process watching just exactly where this here show heads to and becomes. A lot of exciting things ahead of us. Bobby Dooley's going to join us here in the last quarter hour to talk about her appearance on Jay Moore tomorrow morning, the Jay Moore Sports Show, Jay Moore Sports. And Bobby was on last week. She's become a bit of a fixture over there with Jay Moore, so she'll be talking about that. We have Dr. Clay Kern here with us from the Archaeological Institute of Malibu as we discuss Richard III. Now, this is a king I'm sure many of you have heard of, at least in some tangential way, some sort of peripheral way, a famous English king. Tell us a little bit about Richard III so we get some context here, Doc.
Richard III, Phil, was a king in the 15th century of the final member of the Plangenet dynasty. He was the last of the House of York kings. His death precluded the continuation of that line, and his death in the War of the Roses, it was the Battle of Bosworth where he was eventually killed, and this brought about the Tudor dynasty, of which a great many famous kings were members. Henry VIII was a Tudor. Henry VII was the one who defeated Richard. His remains were buried without any pomp, as you indicated. They were lost for more than five centuries, and then, of course, in 2012, the archaeological excavation discovered them. He was a man that outlived two rebellions against him, because when he became king, many considered him an illegitimate king insofar as the fact was he became a Lord Protector, because Edward IV's offspring were to become the kings of England, and his marriage, Edward IV's marriage, was declared invalid, which made his offspring bastards, as they said in those days, and so Richard became king, and there were two rebellions. So in the memorial that we've created for Richard III, a man who suffered from roundworms, a man who had scoliosis of the spine, a man who might have been a homosexual, which meant nothing other than he would have suffered the social the barbs that one would suffer. And on top of that, two rebellions. This was not an easy life, and yet he was a victorious. So the memorial we created shows him in three reliefs. One is defeating one rebellion, then another rebellion, and then driving a sword into his own stomach, not to commit suicide, but to kill the roundworms that he was suffering from. And then another sword in the final relief, showing him cutting his own head off to relieve the agony of the scoliosis. And yet he lived. What killed him was battle. And that's why we feel this memorial is fitting.
And what kind of reception have you received for this?
Understandably, the people of Leicester are understandably opposed to it because they think that it's negative. And I have gone three times to England to press the case. I've made my case before the city council there three times, and I've almost gotten on my hands and knees and begged and groveled and pleaded with these idiots. And I use that word, that pejorative, Phil, because I think it's necessary at this time to enlist the aid of the public, that I am going to England and I'm dealing with idiots in the City Council of Leicester when I say to them, this is a memorial that is it's praising Richard III when it shows him defeating his enemies in battle twice, driving a dagger into his own stomach, and then cutting his own head off to say, damn you to hell, roundworms, and go to hell, scoliosis of the spine. I will not be defeated.
Well, I got to tell you, I haven't seen this memorial.
Well, then, if you're going to say something negative, I think you need to keep that in mind, and the audience should keep in mind you've never seen it.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I haven't seen it, but driving a dagger into his own guts and cutting his own head off looks like suicide.
It's not suicide, but it's not suicide.
Yes, but doctor, how do you explain that to the casual viewer? A casual observer of the memorial would have to think these were acts of madness.
No, not if they know how to read. If they know how to read, then they can read the inscription on the plaque, which says, Richard III symbolically drives a dagger into his own stomach to rid himself of the agony of spastic colon, roundworm, and chronic diarrhea. And then in the next relief, Richard III cuts his own head off and lays himself on the rack so that his spine can be straightened by men who otherwise were only trained in torture. You see? So.
Yeah, but if you've got a guy cutting his head off, he's cutting off his own head and then he's what?
He's cutting off his own head and then he's laying himself on the rack so they can stretch him and straighten out this crooked spine of his. So he's saying to these men who were trained only in torture, why don't you guys do something that's going to help somebody for a change and straighten my back out? So that's part of the memorial, you see?
But people are going to think that that is some kind of history.
No, they won't think it's history because we say that this is a fanciful and symbolic of Richard III dealing with the maladies that he had. Don't you understand? Right now we're constructing. You can hear our... We've had the equipment going for the last 48 hours solid. I'm not giving anyone any rest. No one has gotten any sleep. And they're operating saws and lathes, Phil, so there could be very serious injury. But all of that is going to be put in abeyance because I want this memorial ready so that we can get on the road with it next week and get to London and finally on to Leicester and present it to them.
I don't know what kind of success you're going to find, if you don't mind us commenting.
No, please do. I want to know what people think.
I don't know what success you're going to find with a memorial that is that. It seems like an entirely disjointed. I could misinterpret that.
Well, slow down. What do you mean?
Well, can I say something here, Dr. Kern?
Of course.
If you have him cutting his own head off and then laying himself on a rack to have his spine straightened...
That's a good point. How is he alive if he cut his own head off?
I said it's symbolic.
Well, why did he cut his own head off?
Because he wants to get his mind out of the way and go straight for the problem. See, if he didn't cut his own head off, he would never think to use the rack to straighten his spine. I don't know yet. We may keep his head back. He may cut his head off after his spine straightened. I don't know. We're still right now putting together the first two reliefs of the victory in battle at the rebellion. Then the next relief will be curing himself of roundworm by gutting himself.
But it's a very violent series of pictures. They're awfully strange.
What do you mean by strange? This I gotta hear. What do you mean by strange?
This you gotta hear? How about the guy gutting himself because he has roundworm?
Because he's in agony, and yet he will not let anything keep him from his appointed rounds as king.
And this doesn't kill him?
No, it doesn't kill him because he was killed in a battle. He was killed in a battle, for God's sake.
Don't talk to... Dr. Kern, I'm trying to be very, very polite and understand what you're saying.
Forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm very short-tempered with, not you, Ms. Gray, but I'm very short-tempered in general with idiots and people smaller than me. I have a message and I have something I want the world to hear about Richard III. And these small little men and small people are holding me back. You understand, Mr. Hendry?
I understand. I don't want...
I understand. You sound as if you're placating a madman.
No, I don't think I'm placating a madman so much as I'm communicating with someone who's very single-minded. I'm saying, if you have this memorial that has such violent and, quite frankly, bizarre depictions, I don't know if you're going to get your message across.
Why? What is it about the... Well, tell me.
First of all, he gets the idea of straightening his spine by laying himself on the rack and teaching people that used to be torturers how to straighten a man's spine.
Well, I didn't put it quite that clumsy, but that's in essence the point, yes.
And what is the point?
The point is that Richard III was able to take two men who up to that point had tortured people for a living and gave them a new job. If you want, chiropractor. If you want to go that far, osteopath. If you want to go that far, I think, but do you understand?
Yeah, but there's no historical basis in any of this. We don't know that Richard III actually taught anybody to be a chiropractor.
But we do know he had a crooked spine and a gut full of worms, and a guy like that isn't going to sit still for it. I'll tell you that right now. What I've studied about Richard III, he wouldn't sit still for 5 seconds with round worms. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When I was in the service, I saw guys who had worms, and you don't want to know anything about that. You don't believe me. And this guy in the morning is sitting down on the toilet, and at night, and that's what's coming out? No thanks. And yet he persevered.
Yeah, he persevered, and then he reigned for 2 years, and then he got killed in battle.
About 2 years longer than you or I would have, my friend. Believe me. Right now, you can hear, I got guys working around the clock. You're sitting here giving me a hard time. You hear that? I got guys working around the clock to get this thing done. When we get this thing back to Lester, they're going to be holding on for mercy. Thank you very much. This is Dr. Kern from the Astrological Institute. Hold on, Herman. How you coming?
Yeah, I think it's going to be real good, Doc. Back get that picture of him there.
That's a picture of Richard III, Phil. I want you to know there's a picture of Richard III. And what are you making?
I'm going to make the carving.
That's right. So that's hard. I forget here. What's your name, Junior?
Yeah.
Junior's working on that. So we've got a whole bunch of guys that are all over this like white on rice. And even you, Henry, can't stop me.
Thanks very much, Doc. All the best.
You bet.
I think that man will never get out of the country with that.
I agree. I don't think he'll get out of that school. I don't think he'll even finish out the night's work because they'll get raided by the state of California for keeping underage kids working on... What the hell is he doing?
Doggy, he's like working on a memorial and everything.
It's 11 o'clock, almost 10 o'clock at night.
Well, you said it was 11, almost 10. No, it's what is it?
It's almost 10 o'clock. And I'm listening to skill saws going, and I'm listening to buzzing sounds, and some guy named Junior, that guy's a student?
Yeah, it might be one of those manual arts type places. It might not even be...
Well, it's called the Anthropological Institute.
No, not that. It's called Archaeological.
Archaeological Institute.
Yes. That doesn't mean they can't have a guy named Junior working there. What kind of archaeologists are these?
Well, you tell me.
Well, they might be... real low-level archaeologists.
Yeah, probably guys like just work with a bucket and one of those, like, sand pails.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Are you trying to tell me they have archaeologists that work with buckets and sand pails?
If they're low-level archaeologists, you got a guy there named Junior. How bright is he going to be?
Not very.
Well, that's the whole point. So if an archaeological institute, they're turning archaeologists to using sand buckets... And,
yeah, sand bucking them sand forks and stuff.
And they're archaeologists, huh?
Of a kind, yes. They're doing archaeological digs that are maybe only a foot deep.
Yeah, a foot deep, and they're digging up, like, you know, if a guy smoked a cigarette or something.
What? What are you talking? Are you telling me that this is for real?
I'm saying it's possible.
You got a guy named Junior want to be an archaeologist, what you going to do? I'd give him a bucket. A little buck, you know, a little shelf a little kid used, and send him out on the beach.
Really? How about if you put him in a little pair of those Donald Duck water wings, too?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not.
All right, we'll be back.
Well, Phil, it's easy for you to laugh at people that are less fortunate.
I'm not laughing at people less fortunate. I'm laughing at the notion that you take some guy who is less fortunate and turn him into some kind of a half-assed archaeologist with a sand bucket.
I hope God forgives you because I certainly won't.
Oh, come on, Margaret.
No, I won't.
All right, we'll be right back in a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Sorry I pissed her off again, man. What do you want me to say? We'll be back to close out here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Bobby Dooley tomorrow morning on Jay Moore Sports. We'll have Bobby on here in just a second. World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 10 o'clock here on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we've got Bobby Dooley on the line with us. Bobby is, I guess, a regular feature now on, or a semi-regular feature, or maybe not a regular feature at all. Maybe this is going to be the last week. You blew it yesterday, Bobby, didn't you? That's what I heard anyway. I heard that you were supposed to be there at Jay's. You're supposed to be on the air with Jay. Where the hell is Bobby?
Get on the line. Ms. Dooley, you there? Ms. Dooley, you there? Hey, Miss Dooley, is you there?
Don't keep yelling for her, man. Was she there or wasn't she?
Was there, man. I don't know what happened.
In any event, Bobby Dooley was supposed to be on with Jay this morning, and something went wrong. Like, I'll tell you what went wrong. Maybe she slept in. Who knows? Hey, Bobby, how are you? Phil Hendry.
Hi, Phil. No, I didn't sleep in. I totally forgot, because of Labor Day, that we were supposed to be on this morning with Jay. I called him up. I was very apologetic. I know it probably, you know, made him look bad, and I'm sorry, Jay, and I said I was sorry again, so.
I didn't want to say sorry, too.
My husband, Steve, is here. He said, how many times do you expect me to say I'm sorry?
Just once. You know, I just, you know. Was Jay okay with that?
He was fine with it. I think Jay understands that, you know, the holiday weekend, which was the Labor Day weekend, which celebrates the labor. I don't want to get into what it celebrates because I always make a mistake.
No, Labor Day, though.
It's called Labor Day, yeah.
I know what Labor Day is. Let's forget about what, you know, describing that.
So I'm embarrassed enough that I missed Jay's show this morning, and I can only hope that, you know, they'll treat me well on the show tomorrow, but we'll see.
Well, he didn't treat you well the first time when he was on your podcast.
When he was on my podcast, yeah, he was... you know, Jay was a guy that, you know, he said that he wanted to push my face into the cab seat and take me to Oakland and have his way with me. Jay's a clown. There's no question he's a clown.
So you didn't take him seriously?
Well, I did take him seriously because that's what he did do, but...
So he took you to Oakland?
He took you to Oakland after pushing your face into the vinyl of a filthy cab and did what?
That's really nothing I'm going to get into, okay?
Well, there are a lot of women who want to know.
That's really nothing I'm going to get into, okay?
Bobby.
That's really nothing I'm going to get into, okay?
Fine.
All right, I think we've gotten the message.
What's the message?
That's nothing she's going to get into.
Okay.
So, Bobby, being on the... how do you do with sports? I mean, are you good with it? Are you bad with it?
Well, he was asking me questions about USC, which I love USC football. I went to USC for 3 years. I did not go my senior year.
Why did you only go 3 years?
Well, I decided I didn't want to go there anymore. And I went to, I finished up at Pierce College, you know, so.
Well, you had 3 years of college under your belt, and you didn't get your final year. Were you able to get your degree?
No, I wasn't, because I was told that you couldn't get your four-year degree from a two-year. So I just went, well, you know what, forget it then. I mean, if that's the way they're going to be about it. So I didn't get my four-year.
Why did you not go all 4 years to USC?
Well, it's a really long story, but it's really a long, long, long story. But basically, Steve and I were, I think it was unfair. Steve, do you want to tell him?
About I was doing dark ones.
Steve was arrested. When I met Steve, I met him my junior year. He was selling fake IDs and was mainlining Darvon at that time, right, Steve?
At that time.
But not anymore.
Not anymore, no.
And so when we met, he was arrested for, I guess, possession of a controlled substance. I saw him crushing up Darvon into a spoon.
Oh, well, hold on for a minute here. I mean, this is really behavior that goes to the very heart and to the very soul of what we talk about when we talk about parenting.
Absolutely. So you have no problem coming on the air and talking about this?
I have no problem coming on the air and talking about how unfair it was that I was asked to leave USC. And also, yes, my grades were not good enough, and my father pulled me out.
So why did you leave USC then?
Because my father pulled me out because my grades were not good enough because Steve was...
Yeah, I mainlined Darvon.
Because Steve was mainlining Darvon.
Your grades weren't good enough because your father pulled you out because Steve was mainlining Darvon.
That's right, and we'll get into it more tomorrow on the Jay Moore Show because I don't really want to waste all of my grade A material on you, but I will say that... You know, we felt it was unfair.
All right, well, I don't want you to waste your grade A material on us, so bye-bye, Bobby.
Jesus. What a snoot.
Yeah, so listen to Jane Moore tomorrow. Maybe she'll get into it. Maybe she won't. Phil Hendry Show. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. Thanks for listening. We'll have our show log up on philhendryshow.com and also a brand-new podcast tomorrow, classic podcast tomorrow at philhendryshow.com. And until then, we love you. We need you. We can't live without you. And let that be a lesson to you.